Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
Hope everybody's had a good New Year. Hope y'all didn't turn it up too much, Earl on yourself, and you know, got some unscrupulous pictures taken of you.
Yeah, hopefully none of y'all got any DUIs, none of that nonsense. Had to spend a night in jail. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully you were free, able to enjoy yourselves, and maybe get a kiss on that. That 12 o'clock strike, or you know, maybe some booty on that 12 o'clock strike, you know, whatever the mood calls for. Yeah, so you
I
know.
Would hope for the latter.
Exactly, you know. So enjoy yourselves. Yeah. Enjoy the new year. Hope your New Year's resolutions come to light.
So what did you get into on New Year's?
I played it safe. Stayed at home, got drunk in the confinements of my own space.
Yeah, I did that. Popped the bubbly here. We was in the house kicking it, listening to the gunshots rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But we got some guests with us this evening from the In Deep Show. We got my man Big B and the 15 Word Assassin. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on? Yes, gunfire worldwide, coast to coast.
We happy to be here.
I love it.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all being on. Definitely.
Appreciate Anytime. You having us. I did wipe my feet before I came in the house.
Yes.
So how was y'all New Year's?
Well, I mean, my New Year's was great, man. Went down to the club, just chilled, popped some bottles, broke my bed. But
I so wish he was joking. He was so telling the truth. Yo. Wow. Nah, as for me, man, it was business as usual. I was out there babysitting the grown folks, and patent pocket.
Hey,
I heard that.
Nothing wrong with that, man. So, yes, thank y'all for joining the show with us. And we're here about to talk some NFL. It has been a great first weekend. Wild card weekend has been crazy.
Yes, it has.
We're just going to jump into the game that just ended. That, what was it, like 2 degrees out in Green Bay?
Yeah, it was about 2 degrees. They say with the wind chill, it felt like it was in the negative, so... It was cold.
It looked cold as hell.
It was cold as hell. So,
shout out you to know what? Who was sitting out of there? Because I'm like, hell no! I'm watching that game from the confines of my home.
I'm right. Looking outside with the sunshine. Like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about right here.
Yeah. Man, I was cold watching it.
Real talk.
You know what though? To hear some of these people in the warm confines of their studios. Talk about, oh, this game shouldn't be played. Man, come on now. Y'all getting paid big loot. Go on out there, play that game.
Exactly. Now, I hear you 100%. These are gladiators, these warriors, quote unquote. So, yeah, they need to be out there.
This is what you get paid for. You get paid to play in these conditions. I mean, I know it took a long time for that stadium to sell out. Fools was not trying to go to Lambeau Field, but I guess they made it happen.
You're right.
I don't blame them.
Craziness.
Probably was giving those tickets away.
Shit, I would be.
I wouldn't even surprise me if that's what happened.
Hey man, but it was worth it though.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It came down to the very end. Bill Dawson with that field goal, and I just saw the replay. The ball went right in between dude's arms.
Yeah. Right.
I was like, what?
I was so heartbroken.
Man,
I was heartbroken. I ain't gonna lie.
You was pulling for the Packers.
I was, and the thing about it is, man, God bless 49ers fans, you know, from that are 49ers fans. But man, if I see one more dude walking around here with their price tag still on their 49ers, I swear for the Lord, I can't take it.
Oh my goodness. Now let me ask y'all a question. How do y'all feel about the fact that the 49ers had to go to Green Bay considering, you know, the record difference?
Right. I'm going to be honest with you. I heard that there was a little rumbling about them possibly talking about doing a reseeding. And I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on it. I actually think, hey, you know, we've played these rules for so long. It's, you know, that's how it goes down. Deal with it.
Man, listen, I was cool with it for real. Like, listen, go out there, play your game, and just do you.
Now, at what point does you know, strength of your division come into play? Because let's be honest, 49ers play in the hardest division in the NFL. So
I can dig it, but just like everything else on this beautiful planet of ours, it all goes around. So it's not always going to be the strongest division, and they might be, you know, the beneficiaries of a weak division one year. So.
Well,
you know, you take it and you give it.
Their division just got strong again within the last 3 years.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know, true. Week, yeah, true. Time.
And now remember, you are talking to two of the NFC East, and you know, this has been notoriously the strongest division in the NFL some time. So it doesn't matter how horrible our teams may be one year, we still, you know, club each other to death, and everybody else is better for it.
Now, right. even if you have a situation, remember back when the Seattle Seahawks hosted the New Orleans Saints and beat them, but they weren't even a 500 team.
Yeah, it was 7-9. Same argument was coming along. Like, why should they be hosting the?
So, should you at least be 500, or it doesn't matter?
I mean, if you're gonna restructure the playoffs, then restructure it as a whole, but I don't think they should just do reseeding and stop it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hey, the goal of the season is going in is to win your division.
And right.
You win your division, you get home field. Yeah. Don't matter if your division is NFC West, where it's that tough, or you just, you know, like you said, the NFC East, where, hey, we got in. Don't matter. We won. It don't matter.
Right. And then they was even throwing out possibly adding two more teams.
See?
Yeah, I don't even with that.
to the playoff picture.
Nah,
they don't need more teams. It's good as is.
We don't need to drag it along.
That's what I'm saying. Like you said, we already got people getting in with subpar records.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not feeling that.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely does not need to be tampered with in that aspect. But yeah, I agree. But the game was definitely a good game. Aaron Rodgers, you know, did what he did, trying to come back from his injury. Did the best he could to lead that team to victory. Unfortunately, they weren't able to crack a touchdown in the end. And that cost them the game, in my opinion, pretty much. Colin Kaepernick, got to get a man credit. He won, but as Chris knows, and I have stated on this show before in the past, he needs to improve as a pocket passer. He made some nice plays, but he runs too damn much. I get the whole scrambling quarterback. He can run fine, but he does it too much. He doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. It's just, to me, he ain't going to last. He is not going to last long in this league.
Man, he stepped up, dude. He ran when he needed to, 98 yards on a day. He made some great throws. He made some real good throws. But, I mean, you know, that ball hard as hell. You know, you see every time they go off the field over there running to get that jacket on.
But, yeah, he did what he had to do, is win the game for his team.
He did. You see Michael Crabtree, 8 receptions, 125 yards. Been missing him. He's back. I mean, he did what he had to do. Crabtree made some great,
Vernon.
Big plays, man.
Yeah,
I was real impressed.
You know, back to Kaepernick. My only criticism of Kaepernick is it just seems like to me every single pass he wants, like it seems like he wants to win the game with every single pass he throws. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to maybe making a smarter check down or you know, he, maybe to me he has a little bit of like how, if you remember how Brett Favre would, you know, always want to just, you know, just seem like he just wants to win the game. This pass right here is going to win the game, even though it's the first pass of the first quarter. This one has to win the game, you know? And I think he doesn't use his checkdowns enough. And like you said, he relies on his legs. I want to see, he does do it a little bit too much, but I think that gets overshadowed by the fact that when he does it and it works, it's great.
But you got credit to the Packers defense too, because they were shutting down his receivers. They were shutting down Vernon Davis. I mean, he had to do what he had to do.
Yeah.
I can do it.
No, his check down game needs major work. It seemed like if his first option wasn't there, he was running.
Right.
And, you know, that may work now, but, you know, exactly. You're going to have to make it work. But, I mean, shit, Michael Vick been in the league long enough, and his read situations.
Is hurt, banged up.
Let's not talk about that sensitivity.
But, you know, on Green Bay side, man, I have been impressed with Eddie Lacy all season.
He's beast.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Oh, my God.
They needed a running back. He got it. Jordy Nelson. We don't miss Greg Jennings anymore.
Right. You definitely miss Clay Matthews in the backfield, too, man. On that linebacker side, you definitely missed him.
Yeah, their defense isn't what it was during that Super Bowl season. So, yeah, Clay Matthews not there made a big difference. They was both escaping. Because that one Aaron Rodgers where he got it down to score the touchdown. That was, I'm like, how the hell?
That was terrible tackling.
Right.
That was a bad tackle.
There was a hold that they didn't call. I'm like, well, they let him play.
It's holding on every play.
it didn't seem like it.
Well, you know, it was too cold out there to even throw a flag on that one.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think Green Bay misses JaMychal Finley. Especially in the red zone mm-hmm. area. Him going down, they now need a tight end again. He was right on the borderline of getting rid of him because he drops off passes all the damn time. But now they need the red zone target. They need a tight end. But he would have been missed today at least to make the defense account for him. You know, to take some of the pressure off some of the other cats. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, so shout out to the Niners, you know, to the real Niners fans, as Big B said.
Thank you.
Been rolling with their team when they was asked the last 2 years, you know, before Jim Harbaugh came there. But yeah, all y'all fair weather fans, just stop it. Because you're going to jump off it as soon as they lose.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You know, the other game today, oh my God. I actually thought Cincinnati was going to step up. I'm trying to have faith in Andy Dalton all season.
He makes enough plays
to overcome his Tony Romo-esque interceptions, but not today.
See, when I saw the tweet that Romo called him and gave him some playoff advice, I knew it was over.
Oh my God.
That man got too many weapons.
That tweet, but yeah, that's definitely a curse.
That's hard. You know, there was one pass where, and I think it was the last interception he threw, but you literally saw from that point on the team quit. The team was like, we're done. You know, they had no more fire. There was no more high-fiving, no more chest beating, nothing. That little 5 yard out that he just threw, oh, that was horrible.
His decision making was a real poor day.
Well, I mean, the argument has always been out there that Andy Dalton is an average quarterback, which he is. And I mean, he's been there 3 years at this point. I think they're ready to move on from him. Would not shock me if they fired Marvin Lewis as well, because he's been there for damn near 10 years. He has not won a playoff game at all. When has the last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game? Boomer Esiason?
It might be that long.
That's damn near 30 years. That's a fucking shame.
I thought they had one since then.
Did they win?
I thought they did.
They didn't win one with Akili Smith. That's for sure.
Did they win when Carson Palmer was there?
You know what? They might have won. Did they win with Carson Palmer?
I think they did.
Chad Johnson?
Chad Johnson.
I don't I'm going to lean towards no, though.
I don't think they know Cincinnati.
Because I had the same exact same question, because I was like, have they done anything since the Icky Shuffle was hot?
Nah, they were pretty good with Carson Palmer when they had Hushmanzada. Mm-hmm. And once he got hurt, it's like, oh, nope, back down again. Yeah. But, I mean, dude, Andy Dalton, they've been in the playoffs 3 years since he's been quarterback.
It ain't won.
Yeah. I mean, their division ain't no slouch either.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you dealing with Baltimore, you dealing with Pittsburgh.
Who both had a down season.
Well, Pittsburgh almost got in, too, but yeah. It's not like you can just, like, oh, we just going to go and just pick up an elite quarterback.
Well, of course not, but I'm sure they got to get a veteran or something to push him a little bit, because he got no arm, so playing in the cold, his passes ain't going nowhere. And like you said, his decision-making is questionable.
It's terrible.
So, you've been in the league 3 years. At what point are you progressing? He ain't progressing.
I mean, two interceptions and a fumble.
In the playoffs.
I mean, Bernard didn't do much.
And fumbled at the damn goal.
Right, a couple times.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Wow. I know a couple of Cincinnati fans that are, I haven't even seen them on Facebook, Twitter, nothing. I think I need to call and check on some of them, because that was, I mean, when you looked at the energy in the first half, I was like, there's no way they're not going to win this game. And wow, Dalton just literally sucked the life out of his own team. That was sad.
But on the flip side, got to give some love to San Diego. Mike McCoy has done an awesome job with the team, with Rivers, and transforming him back to an elite or semi-elite quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. Fucking Ryan Matthews has looked much better this season. And with Keenan Allen, beast.
Keenan Allen out of nowhere.
And Ladarius Green. I don't even know who that is, but he is good as hell.
Hey, defense stepped up.
Right.
Oh, defense came up huge today.
Came up big today.
Yes, it did.
I did not expect that at all. Their defense isn't even that great, huh? But they came with it today. Danny Woodhead, arguably the best free agent pickup this season, has been awesome for them.
Yeah. Manti and the extra people he brought with him.
He's never going to live that shit down, is he?
He ain't gonna never let that down.
Nope.
His next girlfriend or his wife got to be fine in the mug.
Yep.
People be like, oh, okay. Is she real? Oh, can I tell
it's
you?
Gonna, that situation is gonna be like Barack and they're gonna wanna see the birth certificate.
Yeah.
I need to see the marriage certificate, the birth certificate. I need everything. Just to prove it's really yours.
Oh, that's funny. That is great. And San Diego did a good job. They pulled it out. They did a good job just even getting into the playoffs and going to Cincinnati where it's cold. We all know they're a warm weather team, but they did a good job. But, you know.
That's right. Two California teams went on the road in the cold weather and won.
Yeah.
Great weekend full of football.
No, it was, man.
It really was.
And, of course, we got to get to your Team 15 word.
Oh. Yeah, man. You know what? I'm not mad at them, though, because my expectations wasn't that high for them this year. They definitely succeeded my expectations. I thought they was going to go 8-8. Didn't think they was going to make the playoffs, but they did it. They beat the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys.
Rub it on in.
Do you recognize loser talk when you hear it? y'all remember that scene in Hollywood Shuffle? When Robert Townsend came up there and whoop dude, and then the big muscle bound dude came out, and he went back to the little dude and said, "Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more?
I want some."
That's this dude over here, man. Like, wow, you go back to the teams you beat to beat your chest about?
No, not at all.
I can dig it, dude.
Not at all. I mean, we made a statement, though. We wasn't giving up.
You made a statement that you refused to win the national championship.
Hey, we fought hard.
I can dig it. There's a lot of virgins out there that said they fought hard, but they're still virgins.
right. Well, in fairness to Philadelphia, I mean, you know, Chip Kelly, rookie head coach, coming over from college. Expectations were low. So yes. The fact that they even got in the playoffs is a great accomplishment in itself. Losing Michael Vick was honestly a blessing in disguise for them. Nick Foles has been awesome and is clearly their quarterback of the future. Thank you, Andy Reid. And LeSean McCoy is LeSean McCoy.
Oh, yeah.
Top three running back without question. But they need another weapon opposite DeSean Jackson. Riley Cooper, the
racist ass Riley Cooper.
Nigga hater is.
Yeah. I call him the lyncher.
He's okay. He made some plays. Hey, let's say he made plays.
If Philly did what everybody said they should have done, which was wave his ass at the beginning of the season, they probably wouldn't be here.
True. Right.
True. But, you know, Jeremy Maclin, he's a free agent, tore his ACL. We'll see if he comes back to Philly. If not, they definitely need to get some help opposite him. But they headed in the right direction, definitely, with Chip Kelly, head coaching this team.
That was a great back-and-forth game, man.
It was.
You know, I was talking to 15, and, of course, he took it as I was, taking shots at him.
Right.
I was just being 100% real that I just, and I'm not hating, but I just don't feel that they are going to be as successful next year. Not that they're going to have a drastic drop off, but just the mere fact that your schedule is going to be tougher and the fact that everyone now has a full year of film on you, I just think just by the nature of that,
No, I agree, and I do think that does make a huge difference, having that year of film on the person. But, I mean, at this point, with Philly, considering the division they're in, it's hard for me to say, they won't be back or improve. Because as far that this, the NFC East is, by God, the worst division in football. I mean, let's just call it as it is. The Dallas Cowboys are the Cowboys. The Redskins had a terrible season this year with RG3 and all his nonsense. And the Giants just didn't even show up for the season. So we'll see what happens. I agree with the points that you make. But at the same time, with the strength of the division, it's like, Philly really is the only team I can pick that looks like they will be back in the playoffs next year out of that division.
I mean, fair assessment. But once again, I mean, you see just by the proof of this season how easy it is to go from worst to worst.
True.
No, and you know what? 15 had to step off real quick. He'll be right back. But in his defense, I will tell him, because we do our running workout at FedEx Field.
Okay.
And I will give him credit. He did predict exactly what happened this season. Now, I'm sure a lot of it was just, his Homer-ism, being a fan, but no, he did say they would be first place, and he damn near called this year verbatim, so I'll give that to him.
Okay. Well, give him some time, but, since we got you here, how are you feeling about your Redskins, man? I mean, coming into this season, you had all the hype. We know RG3 was a little banged up, but what the hell? Let me know how you feel. You can go ahead and speak on it. How do you feel about your team right now and going into next season?
Well, okay. My thing is this, I'm a Redskins fan, but I'm not a delusional fanatic. We've dealt with a lot of dysfunction with this team, and it's a ownership and its management for a long time. So the only thing I have to do is go with the little bits and pieces that are being fed as it goes. And I don't know, man. I mean, at least it seems like we're taking steps in the right direction in terms of a potential coaching candidate. And, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, man, that I'm not going to have to go strictly NCAA football next year.
Well, they should be better than what they were. I mean, Mike Shanahan was a huge problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it wasn't all on RG3. And the defense was straight trash. Straight trash. Right. Alfred Morris seemed to just kind of disappear. You know, but RG3, you know, was... I hope he does RG3 more. Yeah, just do more on the field, right. Less interviewing. We know you're confident. I don't want to hear from you talking about what you're going to do. I don't want to hear about your daddy. None of that. Just come training camp, just focus and be quiet.
Yeah, just go to work, do your job, do what you need to do. And when the new coach comes in, just dive into that playbook and get it going. And then it comes out, and then rumors are coming out now that Kirk Cousins said that he's going to have some input to choose who the next coach is going to be. I'm like, are you giving this nigga power to choose the next coach?
Who, RG3?
Yes. No, man, you really just setting this kid up for a disaster now. Because if the situation goes bad, all that point fingers are going to be pointed at RG3. And at this point, that's not fair to him. Don't do that.
Daniel Snyder ass.
Daniel Snyder.
And with that being said, let's go Notre Dame. on the real, if in terms of coaching candidates, I mean, like me right now on the top of my wish list in terms of names being thrown around, Caldwell, I think, would be great. And Jay Gruden, I think, would be another great candidate.
Yeah, I seen that.
That would definitely be an improvement over Mike Shanahan.
Oh, it definitely would.
Anyone that also has a Lombardi trophy? No, we don't want them at all. So.
Well, let's give some props to the New Orleans Saints, man. They were, 0-3 on the road in the playoffs. Continuous doubt that they could get it done, and
they pulled it out.
Mark Ingram, where you been? Just came out of nowhere, 97 yards and a touchdown. You know, Drew Brees wasn't that great, but he got it done. I give him that.
Yeah, that was one of the games this week that made me smile. All right, I needed that W right there.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, New Orleans needed, did a good job. Drew Brees was all right. They did just enough. They did enough to win. It was close. The whole game pretty much started out very slow, but New Orleans did what they had to do. They pulled it out. Sean Payton gets to move on. Drew Brees gets to move on, and we'll see.
Shane Graham, yeah. Great pickup. Darrell Hartley was not getting it done. Killing me. My fantasy, but man, he came up huge.
Yeah. Very clutch kick at the end. And hey, congrats. Congrats to New Orleans.
No doubt.
All right, man, we got to get into the most exciting game of the weekend. Fucking Kansas City, man. I had them winning that game.
I know the feeling and I know the pain. That's the way a Denver Bronco fan felt last year.
Y'all love that much, too?
Just the devastation of just how you lose the game. Just because... Kansas City, I don't know. They took their foots off the gas and just not necessarily quit, but got complacent. And when you get complacent, this is what happens. You stop taking risks. You stop taking chances. You are giving the other team an opportunity to bounce back. You got to stick with what's working. Whatever's working, stick with it. Andrew Luck, this is why I give this nigga all this love, because he is a beast. This is why he needs to have commercials and not RG3. No offense.
I feel you.
But,
I am so.
Hey, Andrew Luck did a good job. He did a great job. He showed a lot of maturity leading his team back to win the game. And his name speaks for himself. He had the lucky bounce, fumble that bounced basically right into his hands, and he got it for the touchdown. And that's all she wrote, baby. That's all she wrote.
No, I mean, this dude the ability, he threw three interceptions and just was like, I forgot about it, and just kept playing, drove his team down. Yeah, that fucking quote-unquote lucky-ass play. But, I mean, the Chargers, man, they should have known. I mean, sorry. Yeah, the Chiefs, losing Jamal Charles early in the game. You're like, is this an omen for something that's going to go bad? And then lose Donnie Avery. Then you lose your the backup running back comes in, and he gets hurt. You're like, oh, shit, man.
That game, I was a little bit torn by, you know, the hater side of me. I'm rooting for teams to lose that have that, you know, people's mouth that I have to hear throughout the week.
Right.
I'm rooting for those teams to lose. And a little part of me, as much as I wanted Indy to win, a little part of me wanted Kansas City to win just so I can rub it in the Eagles' face to be like, wow, y'all let him go. Wow.
That's what it was feeling like.
I know, man. It was so close, too. Ah.
The Philly fans was like, they were ready. I saw the tweets coming already like, don't y'all miss Andy Reid?
Right.
And shitty ass timeout. I mean, his clock management was awful. There's no way. Up 38 to 10 early in the third quarter, you just choke it away.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah. Clearly, they need an upgrade at quarterback again. Alex Smith is okay, but he's a game manager. That's just what it is. He's right. I can't call him a franchise quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he ain't a franchise quarterback by any means.
Dude, this dude went to me. He went off. I mean, if you say I'm gonna get 300, almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns from Alex Smith, you take that.
There's no way he does all that with no picks and loses that game. How the hell did they lose then? Defense, huh?
No, I mean, that was, like, really shocking. That they had, like, part of it is defense, because their defense was great. And I'm like, what the hell happened coming out of halftime?
I said, keep passing the ball. The way Alex Smith was rolling, you keep passing it. I don't care how much you up, I keep passing the fucking ball. Score 70 if you got to.
Part of that's Andy Reid. I don't put that loss on Alex Smith at all. That's Andy Reid choking it away.
I mean, he has a lot of he has a track record of doing just that. With there being so much excitement this weekend, I just have this horrible feeling it's going to be just such a letdown next weekend. I just got a feeling we're going to get a whole bunch of 3-0 games. The football gods are going to just piss on us.
I really hope not, but I kind of see where you're coming with that, and it would not surprise me if there were a lot of blowouts next week. It would not shock me at all. You got New England playing Indy, which, if the Patriots get rolling, that can get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. You got
San Diego going to Denver, which if the Broncos get their offense rolling, that can get out of hand. You got who else? Who else we got? We got
New Orleans
at Seattle. If Seattle plays like they did last time and New Orleans can't score, I mean, that game could possibly get out of hand. And then you got San Francisco taking on
Carolina.
Cam Newton better bring his A game. That's all I can say about that one. Cam Newton better bring it. Because he's still a work in progress. Still needs to prove a little bit more to me. I don't know if Steve Smith going to be 100%, which means he ain't got no weapons. So, what are you going to do?
All right, well, let's do these predictions. Let's start with the AFC. We know, I'm going to just get with the gang because I know who you picking.
Thank you.
San Diego's going to Denver. They did beat Denver before, so it's not like they're not going to be confident. All the pressure's on Peyton Manning, and it ain't like Peyton Manning is like 800 in the playoffs.
True.
And you know they got their pressure because they lost their first game in the playoffs last season.
That was last season.
No Von Miller.
That was a fluke game. Yeah, we had no Von. We basically haven't had Von Miller the whole season, basically, to be honest with you. And, I mean, their offense has scored over 600 points. The game San Diego beat us in was a Thursday night game that we didn't even want to play. Clearly, the Broncos didn't want to play. So, I mean, we got a week of rest. Guys are healthy now. Wes Welker's going to be back. So, hey, I'm looking for that offense to get rolling. The Broncos have to and must start off quick and get the ball rolling quick and just shut it out early. Because I do not want you – the only thing I'm scared of is keeping this game close towards the fourth quarter. I do not want that at all. So, blow their asses out early, but I got Denver winning this game 38-24 and sealing the deal. All
right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, there's a quiet confidence that is resonating with San Diego. And, man, as much as I want to feel that Denver's going to do it, I just feel that San Diego is they're prime and they're ready. So I think they'll pull it out in something close, 27-24.
Mm. Okay, I think I like the way San Diego's playing. I think it's going to actually be a pretty good game. I can see both teams getting in the 30s, like first team to 40 win, because Denver's D has to show something to me. But I do think with all that's happened last season and Peyton Manning doubts in the air, I do think they'll at least get one playoff win. So, yeah, I think Denver's going to pull this out. I'd say like 38-31.
That's a shootout. That is a shootout. I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, or I wouldn't be the least bit upset. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Manning, you know, catch up to his little brother a little bit.
I wouldn't either.
Exactly.
All right, in the other game, we got Indy going to New England. Andrew Luck and them coming off that confidence. Same with them. Ain't no pressure on them. They're going to play like right. But, you know, Bill Belichick playing in the cold.
And you got Tom Brady. That's just what it is. There's the man, Tom Brady, who has basically, got to give him credit, the man has basically had no weapons all season, has led this team to a bye. So, this is why he's elite. This is why he is who he is. And I like the way Andrew Luck plays. I like his confidence. I like his never give up attitude. But I do not see Indianapolis going on the road. They have the luxury of playing at home against Kansas City. I do not see them having that same glory and going on the road to New England in that cold weather and beating Tom Brady and them. I just don't see it. I think it'll be close. I think New England will pull it out 20-17 with a field goal at the end, just because that's just how the Patriots tend to win playoff games, and that's just going to be what it is.
But I am going to God, it's so hard to go against New England, no matter what the circumstance is. It's just hard. But We're gonna have to break this repetitive New England appearance. So I'm going with Indy. I'm going with Indy on the nail biter, like 13-17. I just don't think either team is gonna be able to really get anything going with Indy coming off of, you know, a emotionally charged win, and with New England, you know, sometimes getting that rest can turn into rust.
Right.
And I just don't think either team is really going to be able to get anything going. And I think, I think it'll be a pretty low scoring affair, 17-13, Indy. Watch it end up being like 53-47. This to make me look like a complete jackass.
I mean, you got two great quarterbacks. I feel you, Big B. I don't be pulling for New England at all. especially in the playoffs. Y'all can lose any every game, just lose. But, you know, England has not – they've made some impressive wins this season, but they have looked kind of bad at the same time too. And I guess I shouldn't be – I'm actually thinking Indy's going to pull this one out. Maybe it's just because I want them to, but, you know, they've been rolling outside of Trent Richardson not giving them jack. God, that was a terrible pick. But they're playing on a high right now. I'm not sure with Tom Brady not having his usual weapons of what he can do. And I think Robert Mathis is coming to eat. It'll be a little more scoring, but I think it'll be I'm like 24-20 Indy. We're trying to see that Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning matchup again that America wants. Well, America, you know, they want
America
that.
Wants Brady and Manning.
I don't.
Again, to see who goes to the Super Bowl. That's what they want. I'll take either one. Denver's going to the Super Bowl. I called it first.
All right, on to the NFC. Let's start with the NFC champs, Seattle Seahawks, host of New Orleans. Remember last time they did this? It didn't end well for New Orleans. Yeah. You think it's going to be any different?
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game for New England to pull out. We all know how hard New Orleans to pull out. We all know how hard it is to win at Seattle with that 12th man. We'll see. This is a big game for Russell Wilson. I know he isn't necessarily the focal point of the team. They rely a lot on Marshawn Lynch to carry the load, but Russell Wilson has made some key plays this season to put them in position right now, and the pressure is all on Seattle. Richard Sherman does a whole lot of talking. He now has to back it up. Jimmy Graham is now 100%. We all know he wasn't 100% when they played the first time. So that's going to make a huge difference for them. So we'll see what happens. It's hard for me to pick against Seattle at home, but they have proven this season they are vulnerable at home. They did lose, so I see Seattle winning. There's no way I can pick against them at home, you know, with everything on the line. Pete Carroll's done a great job as their head coach, and I think I'll have them prepared. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think Seattle's going to score a little bit more than people realize. I say Seattle wins 28-24.
Okay. What you got, Big B?
You know, for a guy that doesn't have a dog in a fight, I hate the fact that these two teams have to face each other, because I actually have love for both of them. I didn't have a lot of love for Seattle last year. Damn it. But I kind of grown to really respect Russell. And I really want, you know, good things to come his way. But at the same time, even though we are so many years removed from it, I still have that little soft spot for the whole New Orleans area and them bouncing back from Katrina and the whole thing. And I know all this has nothing to do with football, but at the same time, again, I don't have a dog in a fight, so I have to find something to latch on to. I would actually love to see, not love, I would like to see Breeze go in and take that away from him with the 12th man being on full throat and everything. Right. Just kind of just shrug that off and just go in and snatch that and make it what it is. But that's a tough one. Damn, that's a tough one. I'm going to go I'm going to go New Orleans. I'm going to go New Orleans on a I think they're going to come out hot. I think Seattle's going to rally. I think I'm looking at somewhere around 24-13. New Orleans on this one.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good mashup. I do like both of these teams. I have been impressed with Russell Wilson. He has handled himself with great poise. This team, like I said, is not built around him, but he does make the engine go. I mean, of course, Marshawn Lynch coming off that 50K check he had to write to the NFL.
For not talking.
Yeah, for not talking enough. Yeah, Richard Sherman don't get no fines. But I think at least in this one, I think Seattle's going to win this one. I think their D is just going to be on tilt coming into this game. Real hype. I do think the New Orleans will put up a pretty good fight, at least early, but I can see, you know, toward the end, that defense just wearing on them, and I'm not sure how good the defense is going to be Marshawn Lynch. So I'm going, I go 24-14, Seattle. Crowd hype in that dome, loud, 110 decibels, all of that. I love it. And going on to which is probably the most intriguing matchup of next week. San Francisco coming off this big win, going to Carolina. Two defensive teams, two exciting quarterbacks.
It's going to be a very tough game. We saw Carolina already prove that they can beat New England. I mean, excuse me, San Francisco. Lord, I got New England on the brain. We've already proven that they can beat San Francisco, so... Oh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game, a very low-scoring game, I believe, just like the first one. It was ugly and boring, but it came down to the wire. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was a football game. So I think we're going to see the same thing. Like I said, I don't know if Steve Smith is 100% healthy. So that's going to sting a little bit for Cam Newton. But this is a battle of the two. Two young up and coming quarterbacks, both who have issues in the pocket. So I'm sure both will be relying on their running game. And just think this time the 49ers will pull it out. They're starting to look a little bit healthier, starting to roll a little bit. Alden Smith was back, and he's looking good, and Frank Gore's looking pretty good. So I mean they're rolling. So I think now being able to get out of the, I guess, the freezing cold. It won't be as cold in Carolina. It's still going to be cold, but it won't be freezing Green Bay cold, hopefully. But, you know, so, but I think they will pull it out. They'll be able to go in Carolina's house this time and, you know, get a little revenge. So I see them pulling it out. Yeah, 17-14.
Okay. What you got, BB?
This game for me is sort of the opposite of the last game. I really have a baby axe to grind with both teams. And I just hate the fact that it's a playoff game and it can't end in a 0-0 tie.
Right.
But guess if I have to pick the lesser of two evils. Damn it. I'm going to go with the Panthers, but I need both quarterbacks to go out with injuries and see what the rest of the teams can do, picking up the scraps. So, yeah, I'll go Carolina. I'm going to go 31-28. Sort of thing. I maybe come down to a field goal situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That'll be a good, exciting game. For me, I've liked the progression Cam Newton has made this season. You know, their defense is crazy sick. This is going to be a nice flip challenge for the Niners. You know, Green Bay's defense was adequate, but it ain't nothing like this. But I do think with the weapons the Niners have, you know, Steve Smith iffy. I don't really believe in Carolina's running game. I think they're going to rely on Cam Newton to do a little too much, especially with his first playoff game. And I think the Niners are just ready to face Seattle again. So I think the Niners are going to come out. God, them fans are going to be stupid. But I think the Niners pulled this out, I'd say, 27-20.
Interesting.
But all in all, it's going to be a great week coming up of football. It's
definitely going to be a great week of football coming up. So want y'all to enjoy, tune in, kick back, relax, get all your stuff done early so you can enjoy yourselves.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back talking some more sports. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. NFL. Jay Cutler got paid 7 years, $126 million, 54 of it guaranteed. Jonathan hates the signing with a passion.
Yeah, with a passion is correct. I mean, these owners ain't learning. Tony Romo got all that money. Joe Flacco got all that money. And now Jay Cutler getting all this money. Like, look, man, I mean, Joe Flacco had a good season. He led him to the Super Bowl and all that. But all in all, let's be honest, Joe Flacco is an above-average quarterback. He ain't great. And then you got Tony Romo, who is mistake-prone. Now you got Jay Cutler, who mistake-prone also, a little bit injury-prone. He's a little over 30. He's 31 years old. And you're giving him a 7-year deal with all that money guaranteed? With no playoff wins.
Yeah, that's
the thing with him, and
no, at least Flacco had a playoff.
Flacco had a Super Bowl win, so I mean he guess you could say he earned the money. But
he had playoff wins before that. You know, they were steadily moving up the ladder.
Right.
You know, at least
that's just too much damn money. I'm sorry.
No, that was.
I'm sorry. If you ain't one of the four elite quarterbacks, you should not be cracking $50 million. I'm sorry. You should not. That's just the reality of the situation. He got paid as much guaranteed as Aaron Rodgers. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers or as good? No.
No.
So there you go. Period. Enough said.
It was a little shocking to me that he got paid so damn fast too. But granted, you know. In the system with Trestman, they've looked great. Got them weapons with Brandon Marshall. Alshon Jeffrey has stepped up. Cutler is a gunslinger, so he can put up points with that team. A lot of the problem is the offensive line, but Matt Forte has looked solid. And, you know, their defense is not that great. Basically underachieved, because I thought they would be really good, and they haven't. That is a lot to pay him. You know, but now that he's gotten paid, it's a target on his back now. I picked the Bears to come out and win the division, and they totally disappointed. Granted, they were one win away, but still. But, yeah, that's a little too much. If he got like $48 million guaranteed, I could probably take it. But over 50, yeah, that's a little too much.
I totally agree. He just hasn't shown me enough over the years, especially with you know, teammates questioning his toughness and commitment. And just him just not really coming through and being a stellar quarterback. He had great moments, but I just never can ever recall just him just totally putting it together and just making it happen and to walk away with that much money. I mean, I understand if he's coming off of a Super Bowl year or something like that that could warrant that sort of payment, but not for me.
Right. Exactly. All right, then we had that coaching carousel. Black Monday came and went. Jim Schwartz, as we knew, would be gone. Mike Shanahan had better been fired. Yep. He was gone. Greg Schiano, yeah, that was right, was on the wall like week five.
And fired the GM.
I know. we just seen Titans have fired Coach Mike Munchak.
Yep.
You know, at least did you mention Lovie Smith to the Bucs before he hired? You mentioned it last time.
I mentioned that I had heard some rumors about it. He went there, hired Leslie Frazier, another one let go as his defensive coordinator. So Leslie Frazier got himself a job again. But I like the hire for Tampa. I think Lovey's going to do some good things for them. I think he got the short end of the stick getting fired from Chicago when he won double-digit games like that. To me, that didn't make any sense. But we saw it with Marty Schottenheimer. I think Lovey's going to go to Tampa and turn that team around. I mean, clearly they have some talent. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're as bad as their record reflected. I pretty much think it was a product of Greg Schiano. I just think he brought the wrong mentality to that team. He needs to stick to college and go back. But I think with Lovie Smith's attitude, his leadership and character, I think he'll lead this team in the right direction. And it would not surprise me to see them pull a move like the Kansas City Chiefs did this year and bounce back and potentially go to playoffs.
He's not going to have much pressure on him as he did. You know, you go to the Bears, there is a lot of pressure to win. Tampa Bay, probably not that much, but I think you got something to build on. Mike Glennon seemed to be pretty solid, so it can go from there. It is now official. I know you crapped on it, but the Texans got Bill O'Brien. You still hating it?
Yeah. No question I hate the move. I mean, he did an okay job turning around Penn State. But, I mean, let's be honest. Even with the sanctions that they went through, cats are still going to go to Penn State. That's just the history of Penn State and all that. They're still going to go to Penn State. It's like the sanctions with USC. Niggas are still going to go to USC regardless with the sanctions. I mean, it's a powerhouse school. So, I mean, it didn't surprise me turning them around so quickly, but he's part of the Bill Belichick tree. We have seen how all those coaches have fared, which has been terrible. I saw firsthand with Josh McDaniels how that went. Horrible. So, I personally am not looking for him to do well with Houston. I don't think it's going to work, but that's just my opinion. You know, he fired Wade Phillips and all the whole staff today. He wants his new staff, his own people, so whatever.
So what you think of this coaching carousel, Big B?
Oh, my God. I think there's a lot of people just making knee-jerk reactions and not really doing their homework this time around. And, you know, franchises like Detroit and the Browns, and I really question, you know, people can say what they want about Dan Snyder and some of his boneheaded moves. And, you know, I just feel that a lot of the mistakes that he made and continues to make is just having, I feel he has the passion, but I just feel that he doesn't have the right people around him to channel his passion. But with some of these other owners, I'm just wondering what in the hell are y'all thinking about with some of these moves and even with some of the firings that they do. So, man. I don't know. And the funniest thing I heard through this whole coaching search is, are people still considering, what's his name? Oh, my God. Josh, you just said him.
Josh McDaniels.
Really? Are people still considering him as a coach?
Oh yeah, he's up for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job.
Unreal. Dude, I mean, did they not see him go twice with Tebow?
Thank you. He picked him in the first round, which was mistake number one.
That's right.
And he picked him in the first round, which was mistake number two. God, as a Broncos fan, I had to just deal with it. And God, but hey, I will give him credit where credit is due. He got us Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. So for that, and O'Shawn Moreno, for that, thank you, Josh McDaniels. But as far as head coach, no, he needs to stick to offensive coordinator. He reminds me of Norv Turner. He is a good coordinator. He's a terrible head coach, though.
Right. I like his spunk. I like his spunk. I like his grit. But that doesn't get you over the hump when you make, you know, I mean, two times around the block with Tebow, that's like sleeping without protection with the chick with gonorrhea. I mean, you should have learned the first time. Well, I don't care how attractive she is. You got to be prepared the second time around.
Seriously. Ugh. NFL is crazy this time of year. We'll see who else gets fired. And I know Wisenhunt looks like he might be a lock for that Lions job. That's the best job to have.
Hey, that's going to be a great hire, too. I think he deserves it. He did a great job with Arizona, took them to the Super Bowl. And, hey, with the weapons he got to work with Calvin Johnson, similar when he had Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona, I think he can really make some things happen with that team. He has a great defense he can work with. They have a great defensive line. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. This whole situation flew totally under my radar. Why isn't Mike Singletary getting any other mentions? Was he that horrible of a coach?
It's funny. I was having a talk with some friends about him today. Somebody brought him like, is he still in the league coaching? He seemed like he's a solid coach. I hope he gets a second chance. But his emotional stability came into question, which was really bad. And then, you know, once you have players who are kind of not believing in you and, you know, he's kind of throwing guys under the bus, that wasn't a good look at all. So it might take him a minute to get back. You know, unfortunately, they don't seem real quick to hire brothers as coaches.
Absolutely.
So I hope he gets another chance. He might have to, you know, move up and maybe get in a coordinator position. Mm-hmm. And really impressed to get another head coaching job. But
you know, for me personally, it was absolutely refreshing to hear, you know, him throw players under the bus, because, you know, especially someone that is a Redskins fan that has to deal with the amount of garbage that I have to deal with. And then, you know, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, you know, you hear the real truth of what transpired. And, you know, to just hear him just say, you know what, I'm going to put it all out. And, you know, I'm sure he did it to his detriment. But to me, it was refreshing as hell to say, hey, this dude's just not cutting it. And you won't play. And whatever else was going on, just put it on the table. I loved it. And I think a coach like that can be effective in the right situation. But you would have to have an owner that completely backs you and completely trusts you and completely stays out the way, you know, to let you right the ship in a situation like that, I think.
No, I agree with you, but at the same time, I think with Mike Singletary, and I think part of his problem was, and he's very old school, and it's now become a players' league, and you know it used to be you had the high profile coaches, the Tom Landrys and the Vince Lombardis and all that. It's not like that anymore. Now it's clearly players are the ones who generate the money. They are the ones the fans come to see, and when you have situations like that, similar to a situation. I mean, look, you're a Redskins fan. Clearly you knew paying Albert Haynesworth $100 million was not a good idea. But considering it was like, oh, well, he can be dominant. We got to pay him all this money. I mean, that, and, you know, that's where you these owners got to draw the line. It's like, you know what? Yes, it's a players dominant league, but you give these players all this money. I mean, you had to know going in that was a bad idea. And just some of these owners just toss all this damn money around. And these players are just, they've taken advantage. They've marketed themselves well. You got these agents out here doing all this marketing for them. You see the RG3s with the commercials and all that. I mean, yeah, it's all well and good, but I mean, you see that the true football players, you know, ain't worried about the money. They know they getting paid regardless. Period. You know, right. They bringing it, giving it they all every single game. Your Tom Brady's, your Peyton Manning's, your Aaron Rodgers, you know, and your Drew Breeses, those are the guys, you know, when they were up for contracts, there was no question. It was like, yeah, they getting paid whatever pretty much they freaking want. Because they've earned it. Mm-hmm. A dude like Albert Haynesworth, he ain't earned that shit. And you see it all the time. These guys come in contract years. They play their hardest to boost up their stats and get paid. And it happens all the time. And they get paid all this money. And then they just fall out of the fucking hole. So they cost these coaches. So I feel bad for Mike Singletary in that perspect. Because a lot of these players do take the money and run and play like shit. And don't deserve to play. And don't deserve to start. But, you know.
True.
Without the players doing what they do, the NFL's going bomb. So it is what it is.
You know, it's got some real drama out here in LA with the NBA, as always is.
Both teams.
I know. For the Clippers, Chris Paul out 3 to 5 weeks.
I read it was 6 weeks.
Oh, God. I don't know about that, man.
So that is 6 weeks without their leader.
Shoulder.
We saw first game without him against the Spurs. It was ugly. They got whopped by the Spurs. Didn't really have the fight that thought they would have. Blake Griffin looked okay. Overall, the team looked in shambles. They kind of looked lost without their leader and floor general on the court. So it's going to be a tough hill for them to climb without Chris Paul in that lineup.
No, they got Darren Collison has been a solid backup for him this season. I don't know how he's going to be running the point, but I think for this team to survive, I mean, Blake Griffin's going to have to really step his game up. He is clearly the number one guy on the team with Paul not there. He's going to have to show what he can do. And Jamal Crawford. And Jamal Crawford has got to take that backcourt scoring load that Chris Paul had. And I want to see what he can do. He's played well, but sometimes he's been a little too quiet for my taste. Yeah. I think he really needs to take over and show what he can do. Show that, you know, previous sixth man of the year. Or show the guy who used to try to want to start and would just go nuts.
Exactly.
And for the Lakers, I mean, this Andrew Bynum for Pau Gasol, they clearly are now unhappy with Pau Gasol and are ready to ship his ass out, which I hope they do. If they fail on this trade and it doesn't work and he stays there to finish the year out, yeah, if I'm him, like, yeah, fuck y'all. I'm just playing for my next contract. I'm not playing for y'all. What do you think of this Gasol for Bynum deal?
I think it's god-awful. Personally, if you're the Lakers and you're trading Gasol for Bynum just to waive Bynum, you're tanking, basically.
Right.
You're pretty much waving the white flag. At that point, you might as well take Kobe Bean to just sit out the rest of the season. Don't even worry about coming back and try to get the highest lottery pick you can get. Because right now, I mean, I will give them that they're having a shitload of injuries. I give you that. Fine. And the Bulls did last year, too. So, as far as I'm concerned, you got to deal with it. I mean, you just got to keep plugging guys in and, you know, hope for the best at this point. I said going into the season, though, I didn't think they'd be a 500 ball club. They're not going to the playoffs. I mean, clearly they're not going to the playoffs at this point. Now they're talking about trading Pau Gasol just to save some money. So, You know, if they trade Gasol, that like I said, they're waving the white flag and just giving up on the season. And it would not shock me if they shut Kobe down for the whole season after that.
Does anyone else see, and I hate to say this, but does anyone else see Bynum sort of suffering the same fate as like Amy Winehouse? I mean, that's the path that I see this dude on. What is going on with him?
It sounds like he doesn't really have a love for basketball. It sounds like he was a guy who just because of his size, he was like, hey, you know, I'm almost 7 damn feet. I guess I should play some basketball. Mm-hmm. And he's never had the passion for it, really. He would talk a good game a lot of times. But when the focal point was not him, he just didn't seem to have that kind of effort. And I kind of wish if he knew that his legs just weren't going to be right and he didn't want to go through the process, that he would just retire.
Yep.
Instead of trying to take guys' money. And then I read somewhere that I don't know if it was true or not, that part of the reason he got suspended was he was sleeping with the assistant coach's wife.
Right.
What?
Right.
I was like, what's going on? Like, are we okay
snap.
They just like fucking other people, chicks and on the Cavaliers. I don't know what the hell's going on that team.
That one made me laugh. I kind of like that one.
Wow, I didn't hear that one, but you know what? Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what happened. I mean,
he come off like he really don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna do me.
Clearly, and I mean, to be fair, it is Cleveland. There ain't a whole lot to do. We'll see. I mean, fact of the matter is Andrew Bynum will be traded or cut by Tuesday. I'm going to laugh so hard if the Lakers trade Pau Gasol for him, because that, to me, is such a waste when you can get so much more for Pau Gasol just to get cap space. No, man. Mm-hmm. To lure who? Carmelo Anthony? No.
Well, Carmelo Anthony may be going to the Clippers. Well, you heard about that dumb trade that Doc Rivers was like, it's stupid.
Yeah, exactly. He took the words right out of my mouth. It's stupid.
Because I'm like,
no sense.
Yeah, like, look, Blake Griffin does have some work he needs to get done. He's not, like you said, he's not LaMarcus Aldridge, just Kevin Love. But to me, the dude has talent. I'd rather like watching him more than Carmelo Anthony sometimes. Because at least the dude seems to be more of a team player rather than I'm going to just.
Carmelo Anthony is overrated. Period. I mean, he's a great offensive scorer. That's about it.
Yeah, and if I'm the Clippers, I already seen what he did with Denver. Yeah. I'd be like, exactly. Nah, you want to come to the Clippers? All right, coming off season.
Exactly.
Hell no. Hell no. You want to put you with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin? Now we talking. You know, but if you're going to put him at the four, you know, we already talking about Blake Griffin don't play no defense. Carmelo don't either.
Really don't play no defense and don't pass.
So. Right. And I like Blake next to Chris Paul more than Melo. I think Melo needs a Chris Paul in order to really, you know, do something and get to the championship, you know, and shit. Well, Bynum, you already said he might go to the Clippers or Miami. Might pick his ass up. I'm like, it pays to be 7 feet.
Yep.
Whatever happens or whatever move the Lakers do, my skeptical self always believes that the NBA won't let it, won't let them be down for long. You know, I just feel they will somehow allow some unheard of power move to get them back to prominence.
So. Oh, definitely. I think if the Lakers suck enough to where they're at least one of the five worst teams in the league, they get in the top three pick for sure.
Number one pick for sure.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Unless it's the Knicks.
Oh, well,
one of them too.
Then they both get in the top three. Shit.
Wow. Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in the NBA fellas.
Nope.
Don't have a lot of faith in them.
No, and then my boy Splitter got out. I heard he's out 3 to 5 weeks. I'm like, God damn it. I'm the injury buff for the Spurs. Shit.
Happens every year. They're still going to coast to be the top three team. Nothing else needs to be said. Next topic.
All right, so let's jump in. So who you like? I don't know if this will be out, you know, in time for tomorrow, but who y'all like in the BCS championship? Florida State, Auburn.
Look, I'm just going to say this. Since everybody seems to believe that the SEC is by far and away the best conference in the nation, I got my money on famous Jameis and Florida State. I am not a fan of the whole run option nonsense that Auburn does on a consistent basis. I don't like it. I don't think it works for the long haul. I think you have to, at some point, you have to run a traditional style offense, which is what Florida State does. Jameis Winston, I mean, has proven since game one that the bright lights do not seem to be too much for him. He carries himself very well. We all know he had the little issue with the whatever. He had sex with a girl. That's basically what it boiled down to. So at this point, the man's going, he won the Heisman, did a great job with that, and has seems like he has a really good head on his shoulders. He's done a great job leading this team. They're very athletic on defense as well. So Auburn, if it wasn't for a few fluke plays, they're not in this position. Florida State's here regardless because they have just been whopping everybody they play. So I got to put my money on Florida State just because they've dominated everybody they played. Granted, it's the ACC, but still, I'm sorry. They killing.
All right, who you like, Big B?
I'm also going to go with Florida State. I feel that with everything, like you said, with the allegations and everything, I feel that feel like this is their year.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. Yeah, I'm in agreement with y'all. I think Florida State, they have the best combination right now, offense and defense. I think as long as they stop the run, which is seems to be what Auburn's been able to do.
Only thing.
Yeah. They stop the run. I think that's it. I don't know if, you know, if they're going to let Jameis Winston put up all these damn numbers. I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to come back. I know it's this whole magical season and something can happen, but I think Jameis Winston is out ready to prove. Just like how Auburn had with Cam Newton. Yep. I think the same thing is going to happen. I hope it's a shootout. I hope they both get close to 50 points. But I can see Florida State just smacking the shit out of them. Like, yeah SEC, be quiet.
It's college. They're going to put those numbers up.
Yeah, exactly.
They are, man. Shit.
And Florida State is definitely real, man. Jameis Winston is a beast.
He is, man.
He's a monster. He will be the number one pick whenever he declares for the draft.
Exactly. I think he's going to probably be the next Cam Newton.
Russell Wilson success more than Cam Newton. Just putting up great numbers and sucking for 3 years.
Yeah, how about that?
What y'all think of Charlie Strong coaching Texas? Leaving Louisville. I've heard mixed things about it.
That's that's big shoes to fill. I mean, that's you know, even though you know Texas is one of those solid institutions. They don't always get the bright lights and the accolades as a lot of the SEC schools. But that's I think he's up to the task, but I think it might take him a year or two to really get it going.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll probably take a year or two to get it going with Texas. But, I mean, let's be honest. Texas is a school that kind of sells itself. We are, you know, he's getting top-notch recruits from the state of Texas, from the big-time states. It's just, putting the product back on the field, making the school a little bit more exciting and all that jazz. I mean, now it's going to be tough with the way Oklahoma played, pulled out a big bowl win in their own right. And hey, right now it's Oklahoma. It's not Texas anymore. And I know with Mack Brown, he's legendary. Like you said, big shoes to fill in that regard. And I'm not sure about the coach. Louisville really wasn't relevant until Teddy Bridgewater came along, so to speak. So could be on the product of your quarterback, but I'm not sure. I don't know. So to me, this will be his test to see, how good of a coach he really is.
Definitely that. I mean, the spotlight will be on him. That's definitely not a place where you can sort of wallow in obscurity and keep a job.
Exactly.
What you think, 15? Were you like the hire? I mean, I'm glad it's a brother coaching Texas. That's gonna be interesting.
It's always good to see a brother get a good job. I haven't really followed college football like that.
Okay.
So I'm kind of going to fall back on that one.
That's all good, man.
He better hire some protection. I can tell you that much.
How about that?
He in the right state.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope he gets some time to work through things. I mean, Mack Brown, they haven't been that great within the last few years. So I hope they at least give him some time to, get his staff together and slowly build the product back up. I hope they're not thinking he's going to just take him to the national championship. You got to get past the SEC and the Pac-12, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, and yes, I have to say I was happy to see Alabama take that L.
Yes. I was going to tell you on that one. Definitely.
That's because they're so unbeatable and everybody's so scared of Alabama.
I mean, look, Alabama turns out NFL prospects. They got a good coach and Nick Saban and all that jazz. I mean, I felt bad for A.J. McCarron. I like A.J. McCarron. I think he's going to be a solid pro at the next level. But, I mean, Bob Stoops is a great coach in his own right. He's a guy that kind of went, under the radar because Oklahoma hasn't been as good as they have been in the past. But he's a very good coach. He pretty much was Nick Saban before Nick Saban was Nick Saban. And, I mean, he clearly knows still how to recruit. He knows how to coach. There have been talks of him moving on to the NFL. I don't see it happening. I think he just needs to keep his ass at Oklahoma. I mean, he got a cushy job there. You ain't got to do nothing for the rest of your life. I'm sure everything was free when he won that game.
You better believe it.
How high, man, is Johnny Football going to go? I think he put up that nice comeback win versus Duke.
He's going to at least be a number 10.
Man, I could see Houston picking him for ticket reasons, for business purposes. I could see Houston taking him number 1. But I think he'll be a top 10 just because there's so many teams that need a quarterback. That they need to take him. Raiders, I'm looking at y'all to take Johnny Football, but will he be that good? I'm not sure. It remains to be seen. College and pro football is a whole different beast. I mean, you can put up 40, 50 points every single game in college football. I mean, in the NFL, granted the Denver Broncos put up all these points this year, that does not happen very often. So, I mean, in the rarity you putting up all these points and him running around and all that improvising and all that stuff, it is not going to happen at the NFL level like it does at college. So, I think he'll be all right, but I'm not sure he's going to be a superstar like everybody's predicting he's going to be.
I think for the Raiders, he would definitely make a good fit. Houston, I really think he would probably set them back. I think that what they need to do is they probably need to, if it's a free agent out there on the market, try to pick a free agent up instead of going for a draft. I don't know. That dude, I mean, like you said, college is different. It's college is like playing in the playground, and then, you know, the NFL is like going to high school and being that guy. And I just don't think that he's that guy for the NFL. I think he'll make it, you know, I mean, if he do with deal with the Raiders, but to go to Houston, no.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't feel that Johnny Manziel's skills are going to translate to the NFL, at least not early on. And, you know, he, to me, I think he would be best suited to be in a position where he can get on a squad and just basically learn.
He's undersized,
and,
too.
And exactly. I mean, size being an issue. But, I mean, some people say, look at Drew Brees.
Different mentality.
Exactly. I'm so sick and tired of the whole Drew Brees and Russell Wilson mentality. I'm like, that's two guys.
Right.
Out of all these players who are coming in. So, I mean, the odds are stacked against him because of his size. But, you know, maybe he'll prove us wrong. I don't think so, though.
I don't think so.
And either. I also think it's some of his, showmanship, I don't think is going to be accepted well by a lot of these defensive players. I think a lot of them are going to want to shut him up early.
Exactly. Well, he kind of reminds me of how when Cam Newton came out, he said he wanted to be a star and he wanted to be in the bright lights and stuff like that. He just wasn't focused. Johnny Football, you could definitely see he's not ready and he's not focused. Mm-hmm. He's focused on himself.
Yeah, I hope he has a better offseason than he did this last one. Embarrassing the shit out of himself.
Yeah.
But I think now he knows that he's going to the NFL. I think he'll keep it, try to keep it as clean as possible. Although I'm sure he got his party on after that W.
Right. And I actually even have him being one of those people that are going to say, you know, I'll show up to the combine, but I'm not going to work out.
Right. Do the 40.
Right. He's not. Yeah. I got him ducking a lot of that stuff as well.
All right, 15, I know you stepped out for a second. Give me your predictions for the four upcoming games, the NFL games, this weekend.
Whew, y'all not going to like this, but I got them Chargers going to Denver and beating Denver. I just got that happening.
No.
Oh, man. Okay, I got Tom Brady and them actually losing.
Hey, give me a score. My bad.
Denver, I think it's going to be like 30-27. Chargers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Then who else we got?
We got Indy and going to New England.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna go with Indiana on this. The Colts. I'm gonna go with the Colts on this, and I really, because Tom Brady receivers don't all the time show up. Yeah. So I'm definitely gonna go with Indiana on this.
Annapolis,
right? I got them on this. Score. I'm going to go with 20-16.
Ooh. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. And we got New Orleans going to Seattle.
Seattle, man. Don't nobody want to work with Seattle. Yeah, Seattle. Woo. And we're going to go with Carolina. Okay. For sure. To take the Niners.
What's your score going to be for that game?
Defense on both sides. I think that's going to be a real low score game. So I'm going to go with, and I'm going to go with 12-6 on Dang. That one. Ugh. Yeah.
I hope you're wrong on that one.
Yo, Bo, you got two good defenses. Cam got more. I mean, I would say that the Niners got more weapons than Cam.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't bet against Carolina right now. But I'm going to tell you, Seattle is going to put the whooping on New Orleans come next week. It's going to be something to remember.
You think they're even going to score a touchdown in the game, let alone two?
Sheesh. With that defense, the only thing Seattle, I mean, they got to worry about is Seattle secondary a little weak right now because of the suspensions. I think they'll score. I'm giving them 7. Seattle 30.
Dang. I mean, shocking. That's not surprising. Damn.
Yo, Seattle is just, I don't know. I just remember when everybody used to go up to Seattle and play, and everybody would just beat Seattle. Now and it's just like the shoes on the other foot.
That's cool. I agree. Ain't no thing. I agree. Seattle's really good. I don't know, man. New Orleans going back again, trying to get revenge. Maybe third time's a charm.
When they wake up.
But for sure, man, I'm done. We want to thank y'all for coming on the show with us, yeah, man. Definitely. We appreciate it a lot.
Definitely, man. Thank you for having us on. You know, we always get to sit back and listen and you know, tired of talking to the cell phone and be like, no. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, definitely a pleasure to get on and wrap it up with you.
No problem. You know, you guys have an open invitation.
Definitely.
Do y'all want to give the people your Twitter handle or your show, mention any of that?
Absolutely. I'm your man, Big B. You can hit me on Twitter at in Deep Show B. I always forget to start with the at. Damn. All the time. So, yeah, at in Deep Show B. And you can find me, of course, on the in Deep Show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean,
Podomatic.
Podomatic? We're on a whole bunch of places.
Stitcher.
Google us, damn it. I don't know. And we're also on our new show, Recap to Recap. And that can be also found in all the places that you find the In Deep Show.
You can get me at the In Deep Show 215. Need more followers.
Yes, he talks a lot more on Twitter than he does on the show.
Oh, man, so, cut that out.
So you'll get it there.
But I definitely appreciate you guys for letting us sit in.
No problem, man.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate y'all coming on, spending some knowledge with us. And, yeah, like Chris said, y'all got an open invitation anytime y'all want
to
come on.
Yeah, we enjoy having guests on, able to talk that trash. And, yeah, we don't we're not big on fanatics in the sports happy hour.
Yeah, no crazies.
Oh, man, we got some crazy stories, too.
Can't wait to hear them.
I believe it.
But yeah, you know, you guys can find us, the Brothers Layman. You can find us on Twitter at Brothers Layman. Please email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You hit us up on, leave a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Always check us out. We are on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Just check under Black Is. All the great selection of podcasts for your listening pleasure. Of course, we got the break. Just went in on Kales and his love for the teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I haven't gotten to that show, but I've told I have to listen.
It's definitely real. It got real.
Oh man,
it definitely.
Got you real. Know, God. All right, I might have to send you some feedback on that one.
I appreciate it.
Listen to the show and I gotta get some feedback.
I appreciate that, man. But yeah, I mean, Black is the spot. You guys can always find us. Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, The Break, Culture Connection. A lot of great podcasts out there for you to check out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely once again appreciate y'all brothers for coming on the show, hanging out with us for a little bit.
No doubt.
For those of y'all who continue to listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, go ahead and tell everybody, your friends, your sisters, your brothers, your mamas, your daddies, cousins, aunties, uncles, dogs, cats, fish, turtles, ducks, chickens, whatever you want to do. Tell everybody about the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. We have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Put those back on me. Put those back on me. Put those back on me. Put those back on me.
Authentically raw with it. See, I augmented this industry to submit to my will. All attempts to limit me can nail. Pill caps with ill raps. Nothing convenes here till your camp gets smeared like that. What you trying to tell me? Skills never fail me. Working for peanuts amongst jelly MCs. Really ain't my steez, P game. I plot on different ways to make these spots ricochet through mainframes. The day-to-day theme is turn these fake teams gangrene. My main vein's the only thing about me mainstream. You doubt me like the foes of Noah. Embarking in this arc is so controller. While fools caught up in this Dell used to blow up. Get inundated with the outdated. See all of y'all fall when this cascade hits. Yo D, watch these watered down clowns get drowned in lounge sound. Broken down the cubits trying to build ships off shit they bit. That major place a lava. Tailor made for cypher, so survivor. Pay the piper if you plan to go beside my covenant. Better come in twos, matter of fact, come a crew to get your back. Executives, we wet you with the hymns and leave you and your men packing, attacking with verbal cataclysms. Leaving the average rabbit rich and rabbit trench. Guard against my El Nino lingo, a labyrinth of keen flows. Concealed within this sink, this is water world. And oxygen, I flip commission doctrines that make me Shakespeare's peer. Upon his head, tear, I fear not. Killing furious with the superior onslaught. On top of this, I'll solo like Gilligan with a million styles to throw your way. With capital A, we make waves. Causing tsunamis through your army, splashing like the Kraken on Clash of the Titans. Writing calmly, call me Aquarius. Each full page, a new age. I'm on a crusade to reign in your parade. See, core is more than three quarters of what this rap world secure. So this is Chinese water torture for MCs to endure. As I restore this reservoir with my repertoire, a metaphor, stepping to the core. Better have your life insured for supernatural disasters. I'm quick to cast a flame to your ash. The plane this bitch made you play like a Nasdaq. Water world. This is water world. Coming to offset your plumbing like leaky faucets. Running my dungeon with aquatic contraptions. The fit foes of fish bowls, kick hard as contractions. With schizo memos, closed caption. Your lips sold as hard as two diffraction. Try to test me, you wouldn't tiptoe through Moose's parted Red Sea. It's bound to collapse. So now what makes you think the sound of these raps is something different? I'm even pitching the kitchen sink when coming with it. Liquefied rhymes, rhyme wax. It's time for Jack Fakers to vacate. They take up space like the Great Lakes, making the great case for me to hate. Paint a picture. Clear as Avion raps on tap like Savion Glover. Undercover, peeps wonder why G became the architect, cause none love us. We spark the shit to make the flood cometh. Wash away your blockade, flush your brigade. Trying to sandbag clever words together to weather the storm. Poems poured on cassettes with architect sweat in the pores of the form. When he pets tech swells, I delve deep in this abyss. Inspect hell, tell a fallen angel to eat a dick if he gets pissed. Cause this is Friday world.